My special guest today is Dr. Jake Barlow, who is a resident here at the Alfred Hospital in Melbourne. Thank you, Jake, for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you've co-authored a bit of research on medical students' social media behaviour.
Yes. I suppose the key findings were that medical students use social media a lot. All of the students that we surveyed had at least one form of social media that they used. And the focus of the paper was really to explore students' professionalism on social media and have a look at the incidences of unprofessional behaviour that students reported on their own accounts, as well as those that they saw on other students' accounts. And we also wanted to have a look into any factors that might be predictive of unprofessional behaviour with students.
And what did you find in terms of their self-reporting of their own behaviour?
Unsurprisingly, students self-reported unprofessional behaviour on their own accounts much less commonly than they saw on other people's accounts, which might be for a couple of reasons. The first is an obvious recall bias. People prefer to recall their own behaviours in a positive light rather than other people's behaviours. And also, if one person behaves unprofessionally, that might be witnessed by a number of students, and all of those students then have sort of witnessed that behaviour.
Yes.
Unprofessional behaviour reported by other students will sort of be multiplied. I mean, the paper didn't look into this, but I don't think this shows that students are being more unprofessional now than they were in the past. I would expect that sort of the level of unprofessional behaviour has been pretty constant as long as there have been medical schools. But that now, with social media, that what was previously sort of only in a photo album or only actually remembered is now permanently stored, it's visible in the public domain, and so the exposure that students have is much greater than in the past.
Do you expect that there's much impact from that on their future careers, or is that something you know that people have experienced? Do they suffer later for it?
There have been cases, and I know of, but not sort of the details of, some in Australia as well as overseas in the US, of students being dismissed from medical school or at least reprimanded for their behaviours. The majority of the unprofessional behaviour that was demonstrated in our study was alcohol-related, and that's not particularly surprising either. I thought it was surprising the number of people who admitted to things like illegal acts or actually illegal drug use or things that would be actually illegal, rather than necessarily things which could be interpreted as being unprofessional. But from a broader professionalism point of view, confidentiality, I think, is really where people, and it's the majority of the places where people have been disciplined in the past, is about posting patient identifiable information. The ones that I remember are things, say, when we did your obstetrics rotation, and there's a bunch of people posting photos with the first baby they delivered.
Ah, yes.
And you can understand why they'd want to do that, because this is a big emotional experience and they want to share it. But on the other hand, the parents, patients consent, the parents, I mean, do they understand that, you know, you're taking this photo and then going to share it to the world? Yeah. One of the other dangers of social media is that, again, it's about interpretation.
Yes.
And if you have a photo that was when you were out at the pub and it was a, you know, something that people would not, if they were there, think was unprofessional, but then in isolation, without the context, can be interpreted differently, then that's going to reflect differently to how you intended, or maybe how anyone else who was there or posted intended as well. I think that in the long term, impact can be positive and negative. Negative impacts are fairly obvious. A student posts something unprofessional and is disciplined for it, and that may follow them much longer than they had, you know, intended it to or wanted it to. But I think that social media is a tool, and there's positive ways to use it as a tool as well, and that's been evidenced with the FOMED movement and the positive force that social media and these tools can have on medical education and sharing knowledge between clinicians.
What was your training like in terms of social media? Did you get much education on how to behave, and were there guidelines available for
When we initially started this paper, the only guideline that people were really aware of was the AMA social media guideline, which had been published sort of around 2011. And that that had a bit of exposure simply because it was new, but there wasn't any formal education around the guideline. It was simply a policy that's been put out, and then people are expected to sort of find it on their own and follow it.
Yes.
And I think that putting out these guidelines, I mean, our study demonstrated that awareness of guidelines or knowledge of the guidelines had no influence on whether or not a student had unprofessional or reported unprofessional behaviour. I am unsurprised by that. I think that you can put out a policy, but unless you actually find some way of actively implementing it,
yeah,
the impact it's going to have is not very large.
So should there be a more formal way of getting this across to students within the medical school curriculum, or how would you see it being improved?
I think that the medical school curriculum has got a lot in it already,
yeah,
and that if you're going to add in sort of a big section on professionalism, or specifically on online professionalism, then you will probably have to cut something else out. But one of the things our study did demonstrate, that people actually completed the survey, about a third of them went on to change their social media settings. And so I think actually in the course of the survey, which is only sort of 15 to 20 minutes long, students had their time to actually reflect on their online behaviour.
Yeah.
And that caused them to then change something. And so I think that if you can demonstrate to students, especially using evidence that they have on their accounts or that their colleagues have on their accounts, you can make it seem much more real to them rather than something that might be more abstract, like a guideline, which they may not be able to make the same links between their position and the policy.
Because once it's there, it's there.
Yeah, exactly. Because
isn't it? I mean, it's hard to make those judgments beforehand, so you're better off setting up your account so that you can't make those kind of...
Absolutely, and I think people have written on this for all professions, not just for medicine, and people,
yeah,
say that before you post something, you should think, would I want my mum to see this? Would I want my boss to see this? Would I want... etc. And
yeah,
if you can answer those questions, say they will, I'm comfortable with all of those people seeing this thing,
yeah,
then it's probably okay to post that thing.
Yeah.
Because what I think is interesting is really the fact that students who thought about it, in terms of making a plan for the future, students who actually thought about their behaviour seem to change their behaviour. I think that it doesn't take very long to name and shame somebody. You know, it's 3 minutes at the start of the lecture, this person did this and this was the consequence. And you know, you run that at the start of a few of their general professionalism lectures or their kind of general, so ethics and,
yeah,
law and that type of teaching. You can probably have a much bigger impact than if you're saying, well, we do this lecture series.
Terrific. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
No worries.